Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Oh, he just whipped his penis out.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, she's really driven, very competitive, and we have a group of kids that love the game. We're going to have an appetite to learn more. And so I enjoy being around them.
Just slow it down. Slow it down. Hit her. Off you go.
What's the biggest challenge in coaching your own daughter?
Making sure she knows that I love her whether she plays well or plays like crap.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. You know, you're my daughter before you're a basketball player. And it's important that she knows that that's how I feel. And those aren't words. You have to behave that way. You have to show her that. After a tough game, you get in the car and it's forgotten.
Everybody, good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. And today's show is brought to you by your New England Volkswagen dealers. This hour, brought to you by Eagle Leasing, and that's because Rich Shurtleib is over there in Miami, Florida. He's there for the Super Bowl. He will be there for all five games.
I am literally the only person broadcasting right now. Like, I mean, it's a gigantic room, as you guys know, filled with tables, and I'm right next to what looks like the Chris Sims podcast and Pro Football Talk and this big stage, and, you know, of course, Jim Rome's got the Kiss-size stage and everything, and I am literally the only one broadcasting right now.
Well, so you got to feel good that you're out there. I mean,
that's right. So we're going to have A-plus guests today.
That's why
we do it on Monday.
That's very important. Yeah, because last year they sent us out on Sunday and I threw a minor fit.
The reason they did that was because you got to be there for media night Monday night. I mean, that's the reason that we're here this morning.
So you got to be there for media night. I don't know
that
if I
true.
Have to be there for media night. But nonetheless, The travels all went well?
Yeah, it was fine. The place I'm staying, it's a nice hotel, but I don't quite know what the theme is because I got into my room, and first of all, it's like lit with these weird blue lights. You know, the Art Deco thing is, you turn the light on, it's just this strange, like, oh man, I don't know. It's like this weird like blue light when you walk in. I couldn't find the regular light. And then as my eyes were kind of focusing, because I couldn't really see much, I realized that over my bed, I'm like, are those Ninja Turtles above my bed? There's like the art in there are of, it's Ninja Turtle themed.
Oh, well, so you must have been, self-pleasure must have been off the charts.
I mean, listen, you know, when you see Donatello and his staff, you know, there's nothing you can do to,
if you see someone, you know, yeah, eating
keep
pizza,
the hands from wandering.
Eating pizza in a sewer, I mean, that's all you can do to not put your hands on yourself.
I mean, I don't know quite what they were going for. But, I mean, there's, hey, look, it's the Ninja Turtles crossing Abbey Road. Hey, look, it's the Ninja Turtles smacking each other on the ass. I mean, it really is just a very, I don't know whether they looked at me and they said, well, okay, well, here's the grown infant. Let's throw him in this world. He'll probably enjoy it. So there you go. I'm sure there's some Lego bricks hidden under the bed somewhere. I'm not quite sure what the theme is, but it's close, convenient, and it has a bed.
Okay, so there are no other broadcasters.
Right now, I mean, there's a bunch of people waiting for broadcasters, like setting up like all the tables and stuff like that. But I'm the only one on the air right now. There's like a million tables, and I think that it's just me. Just me and no coffee machine.
Oh, really? So they haven't even brought anything out yet? They have
No.
Sodas or coffee machines or anything?
You remember how it is. Even like on the busy days, even like on Thursdays, you know, the East Coast shows are always, it's like four of us, and that's it. And now, you know, on Monday, you know, it's just me. You know, I'm looking at the great Josh and Jim Louth. They are here with me this morning.
Yeah,
and
who you forced to work? They were not supposed to be up this early.
Nope. They're doing it just for our ratings. So there you go.
Happy to be here.
Yeah. was that a Jim Gray? Is that what
I don't know. I didn't hit the button. I don't know who that was.
I did not either. But we'll see if he's wandering around at some point this week. But I do know that I got the itinerary for this evening. I don't know what channel. I know that they tried to make this a big TV event, the Super Bowl, first night Super Bowl or something. They got some cool snazzy name where they roll out both teams and they go to their podiums and, you know, they have to spend an hour talking to people. And usually it's only the quarterback and the coach who have a crowd the entire time. And then there's all the poor guys that, you know, are the left and right podiums that literally just sit there with nobody in front of them for a good 30 minutes of their press conference. Those are usually the better interviews. Like, didn't you spend like a 30 minutes in front of Ninkovic one time?
Well, Ninkovic just wanted to talk to me because he had no one to talk to.
Like, you're right.
Like I didn't have like a conversation that was worth playing on the radio. He was just like, hey, what's up? What have you been doing?
Yeah, you didn't want to be the lonely guy at the party,
yeah,
right?
He was like, hey, yeah, you know, you having fun?
Please be my friend. Just stay here so I don't look like a loser.
It was just like I like had my elbow on the dais.
Yep.
And it was literally me and Ninkovic. And Ninkovic's eyes lit up when he saw me.
Yeah.
Because no one was talking to him. So I didn't even tape it. I stopped taping it.
Even, like, wacky question mark suit guy didn't even want to talk to Ninkovic. And there's always, like, the dude from Entertainment Tonight with the big head. And then there's – I guarantee you, I would almost bet, like, my house on it that James Corden's going to use Rob Gronkowski to be, like, stunt question guy today.
Well, James Corden, I guess his show is replaying on Comedy Central in the morning. And Anthony Jeselnik? I don't know.
Jeselnik.
Jeselnik said, our nightmares have all come true. Like, not popular with the comedians there, James Corden. No. No one a big fan. But you have to ask Shanahan why they call Garoppolo Dirk Diggler.
Yeah, that's a great story. That's a great, great story. So yeah. I will definitely make sure I ask that.
And it is not his penis size. It is his...
And that's going to be something that's going to take him by surprise, too, because he doesn't know we know that story.
Yes, he will not know. They call Garoppolo Dirk Diggler because he's stupid. So, but like in a friendly way.
And it's like, you know, he'll like, you know, throw an amazing pass or do something. And like, can you do it? Hey, can we do it again? You want me to go again? Just like that line in Boogie Nights.
Yeah, they'll go like, instead of going like, you know, red 42856, they'll just go throw it to that guy and he'll do it. And then he'll go, you want me to do it again?
Should I do it again?
Yeah. And then they'll go, oh. And so they call him Dirk Diggler. But that is inside information. So you'll be able to say that to him.
That
and if he dismisses it, say, don't, not so fast, Shanahan.
That will be a question that I will ask. So, and the one thing, too, that's kind of a little bit of a benefit like this week is that I'm already hearing there's a ton of Patriots who are going to be on Radio Row, seeing that they're not playing. I know that the McCourties are going to be coming around. Yeah. I got to think that Gronk's going to be doing the rounds. If Edelman was smart, he would hawk his cool jackets, Mackage jackets that he posted that super cool
they
video
are. He is going to sell so many of those.
Listen, I just want him to come here and be shredding on the way on his JE11 skateboards.
So if you don't know, We got sent by Burt Breer an advertisement that Edelman has a new brand of jacket called Mackage. Because when you're going out, you want a Mack, like, right, girls, yeah. And he has these jackets, and they're real cool, real cool. And he's, like, on the streets of Boston, like, jumping off curbs, like, just having a good time. And is still trying to be famous, still a little over his head, like not quite where you'd want to be in terms of fame, but he's getting there. But I'll tell you what, Rich Shirtley, we have a young man that we'll get to in just a moment named John Wall, Dick, or Johnny Wallgame, as I call him. He is he's in New Orleans. You see how I did that? New Orleans. I like a real Cajun, like a real dope.
Yeah.
And like the dopey Cajuns. And so what I did is, so he is going to be on the air. He's going to talk about it.
Yeah, he had a weird day. I mean, because Wallach was, you know, he was with the team yesterday and with them when they all found out about Kobe. And not only were some of the guys close with him, you know, he was with coaches, Cedric Maxwell, I know, who knew him very well. I mean, it was a really weird, he was with Scal, and it was just an all-around weird environment.
But it was almost kismet that John was there, because they all look up to him, and so it kind of took away some of the blow of the death of Kobe Bryant when Wallach was there.
Is he on the phone with us now? Or
He's on the phone, but I choose to make him wait. So we will break, and then we will come back, and we have John Wallach and the reactions from the Celtics from the death of Kobe Bryant and how John managed to be a salve for the open wound that was the death of Kobe Bryant. We will be right back. Rich is over there in Miami by himself, he can tell us what an empty convention center looks like.
You can hear it. It's a nice echo.
It's electric over there. All right. We'll be right back.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Five, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Johnny Wallgame going through security, living the high life of a 5 a.m. flight in New Orleans. Not quite sure why he chose that one, considering he doesn't have to work today, but nonetheless. He was sitting at the Ritz, and then he's got to go. And,
ooh.
Oh, yeah. Then he booked himself a 6 o'clock flight? So good for him. I'm always amazed with how he travels. He loves, like, leaving for no reason. Like, you do a morning show, you have all day. There's no obligation for you to get here at any point. You could leave at 11 o'clock tonight. But he's on some, and it's not like the team's going to care. Like, you know, oh, we saved, like, you know, $100. So, I mean, I don't know. He's on he's on some early-ass flight. They're an hour behind, but he'll join us. All right, Rich, from an empty conference center in Miami, Florida.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, so yes.
As you have heard, NBA legend Kobe Bryant and one of his daughters, among several people, killed Sunday in a helicopter crash in California. Bryant was 41. He was on his way to a youth basketball game with his daughter, Gianna Bryant, who was 13 when the helicopter crashed. Those aboard the helicopter included another player and a parent. There were no survivors, and according to the flight manifest, there were 9 people on board. The first 911 call reporting the crash was at 9:47 a.m. There was also an unfortunate local connection to the accident. Among the other victims was John Altobelli. He's a former coach of the Brewster Whitecaps on Cape Cod. He was in the helicopter with his wife, Carrie, and daughter, Alyssa. His son, JJ, is a scout for the Boston Red Sox. So all around the league, friends and colleagues of Kobe, they posted tributes to him, including his biggest frenemy, Shaquille O'Neal, who wrote, quote, "There's no words to express the pain I'm going through with this tragedy of losing my niece, Gigi, and my brother, Kobe Bryant. I love you, and you will be missed. My condolences go out to the Bryant family and the families of the other passengers on board. I'm sick right now," in capital letters. But perhaps one of the most emotional reactions to Kobe's passing was that of Doc Rivers, who spoke to the media before his team took the court yesterday.
I just don't have a lot to say. The news is just devastating to everybody who knew him, known him a long time. And, you know, he means a lot to me, obviously. You know, he was such a great opponent, you know. It's what you want in sports. He had that DNA that that very few athletes can ever have. You know, the Tiger Woods and the Michael Jordans. I was getting to know him more since he retired. You know, yeah, this is a tough one. I don't. I mean, we have to go play. I mean, the news is just so devastating for Vanessa and his family, and I mean, this is just shocking news for all of us. And sorry, I don't have a lot to say. I just can't. I have to go talk to a team before a game and tell them to play a game.
Well, after the news of Kobe's passing, Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban tweeted, quote, "Our organization has decided that the number 24 will never again be worn by a Dallas Mavericks." So the Mavericks retiring the number 24 in Kobe Bryant's honor. So Kobe Bryant's career highlights are just ludicrous when you take a look at it. Five-time NBA champ, two-time NBA Finals MVP, 2008 MVP, 18-time NBA All-Star, four-time NBA All-Star Game MVP. I mean, it just keeps on going. All-defensive first team 9 times, and also one-time Oscar winner as well. However, he was cheated out of an Emmy for when he played Terry Hightower on Moesha. I believe he lost to Malcolm Jamal Warner for Malcolm and Eddie. I don't know if you ever saw that episode of Moesha, but it's one of the rare acting things that he's done.
Kobe Bryant. Well, that's when they had to jam it on the one.
No. You're thinking of The Cosby Show.
No. But I think on the Moesha, that they kind of took the knowledge from what they had learned all those years back and told them to it's on the one. You know, that's a funk thing.
Jamming on the one.
Is that's how Bootsy Collins learned to play bass, you're on the one.
I did not know that.
Well, you're a musician, but I don't know why I have to be the one to tell you these things.
So Robert Kraft was asked about Kobe Bryant. Somebody ran into him yesterday.
This is the house where Kobe wrote history. What's it like for you right now, standing in it?
Very sad thing about him and his beautiful little daughter, who I guess was a great basketball player. I had a chance to come here, even though I'm from the East Coast. I came just to see him in one of his last games, and we spent time. And he was a great human being to me. He was a champion on the court, but did so many good things off the court. And I just think this is a moment where everyone should just step back and give their loved ones a hug and a kiss, and make sure you don't take anything for granted. None of us know what's going to happen tonight or tomorrow.
You know, this whole Kobe thing, his legacy is a complicated one, because, I mean, you know, obviously everyone feels bad for the family, and obviously the families of everyone involved, and it's, you know, you lost one of the greatest competitors that you've seen on a basketball court. I mean, cut his best friend or pull for, you know, someone to trade his best friend in a team if he knew that that person wasn't giving 1,000% in the court. He just was unguardable, one of the best I've ever seen. I mean, when it goes to those battles between them and the Celtics, it was just fantastic. The back-and-forth championships that they had, you know, Celtics win, and then the, you know, Lakers win, and the it was just, as a competitor, he was about as great as it gets. And then you know, everyone yesterday was... I guess it's fair to say that you can praise him and be deeply hurt by the news, but also understand that he had some history with, I mean, there was the assault allegations, the sexual assault allegations, and I revisited that yesterday just to remember, you know, what exactly happened there, and it was really, really bad the way it went away, and I just think it's one of those things where you look back today, and I think you can praise him for the player that he was, but also realize that, you know, maybe he wasn't a saint. I think it's fair to do both.
Yeah. And also, you got to take a helicopter. They're very jealous that you could take a helicopter to AAU games. I mean, they said that's an hour and a half drive. And he was able just, and I guess he did it all the time. So can you imagine? Your kid's playing in some AAU game, and you're like, ah.
That's not how you go? That's not how you travel?
No, I slingshot. They just put me in a slingshot, and then they send me over there. But I was a little jealous that he gets to take a helicopter. But we have Rich on the air, an expert. on the
Well, I mean, he was there. I think John has like a unique perspective of he was inside the Celtics bunker.
You don't have to tell me nothing. So, Mr. John Walgame, hello.
Morning, fellas. How are you?
Why did you take such an early flight?
I have to get back to pick up my kids at school, and there are no direct flights. So I have to fly through Charlotte, and I have like an hour and a half layover. It's just a mess.
Ah, well, it sounds like you're living the high life. So it's 5:27 there?
Yes, it is. Wow. 5:27 here.
Well, at least you get a break from getting up in the morning. So, So I know Tatum is very close to Kobe Bryant.
Yep.
So when does the team hear the news? Are you with them when they hear the news?
No. We found out, I want to say about 45 minutes before everyone convenes at the hotel and takes the bus over to the arena. So, you know, the news is still fresh in everyone's mind when we boarded and headed over. And it's interesting. Usually on the bus over to the arena, there's a lot of talk back and forth. Bus was silent all the way over to the arena. And then we started hearing news like, well, maybe they won't play the game. And there's a lot of confusion on the way over and once we got there.
Okay, so was anyone seem more affected than the others?
Yeah, I saw Gordon Hayward, and Hayward had just spent some time working out the previous summer with Kobe. You could see it. It was really bothering him, and I did not see Tatum. He was on the other bus, I guess. But a lot of the players, Kemba Walker was on my bus, headed over as well. I mean, you could just see it on their faces as we kind of got to the arena, and it looked to me, and of course I wasn't able to talk to these guys about this because they didn't talk to the media at all. All I was able to do was talk to Brad Stevens, but it looked like to me they would be rather be someplace else for that period of time. And Brad told me he spoke to all the players individually and said, you know, if what do you need? I'm happy to help, that kind of thing. But they went out and played, and when I was talking to Cedric Maxwell about this before the game, he was saying, playing is perfect for them. Max called it a sanctuary. You know, you don't have to think about anything. You just go out and play basketball. So maybe that was the right thing to do.
Did Brad, from what you, when you spoke to him, did he give them an option to not play? Because I heard that Kyrie Irving was given that option. And he's just an example of someone that I saw a story of, and he opted to not play. Was that ever an option that Brad Stevens gave the players?
He did not say that. He did not say that to me. From what I could glean, I don't think that was an option given to the players.
Wait, Kyrie Irving took an opportunity not to play basketball? Oh.
Yeah, I know.
It's very, very, very rare. Okay, go ahead.
Shocking but true. Yes.
That's right.
I don't think that was an option, Rich, from what I was able to gather.
Okay, so when you were talking to, you know, Brad Stevens, he's obviously spent some time with him. I mean, this is okay. So, first of all, you were the one who tweeted before you kind of broke the news that the team had agreed to hold on to the ball and let the 24-second shot clock run out in honor of Kobe Bryant. Like, where did you hear that, and when did you find out they're going to do that?
From Brad. Usually, I get 5-10 minutes with him to do the interview for the pregame show, and I talked to him and said, "Well, the Houston Rockets in their game had done that." And Brad said, the moment I got here, I went and talked to Alvin Gentry, the New Orleans head coach, and we agreed we're going to do that here tonight. We think it's the right thing to do. And Brad Stevens at his pregame press conference with all of the media, and then when I had a chance to talk to him for the pregame show, said, I'm not talking about questions. I'm not handling questions about the game at all. We're just gonna focus on Kobe Bryant because it's the right thing to do. So I think it was very nice, and the Pelicans, you know, ran down a 24-second clock for a moment of silence with Kobe Bryant's picture up on the Jumbotron, and I thought that was very tastefully done.
Did you talk to Scal? Because obviously he's got a relationship with Kobe, the two Mambas.
I did. Scal took this really, really hard, and not because he was a personal friend of Kobe Bryant's, but Scal's point was, this is a guy who was one of the best ever in his field, and after he retired, he didn't just kind of sit on his laurels. He was in the process of doing other things to be the best ever at something else. You know, you mentioned he won an Oscar, and he was now kind of segueing into being a full-time father. But most importantly, and you don't see this with a lot of players like that, he spent a lot of time trying to give back I mentioned working out with Gordon Hayward. Jason Tatum very famously has worked out with Kobe on numerous occasions during the offseason. And Scal was just so impressed by the way Kobe handled himself after his retirement. And you know, Scal's point of view, to see that taken away from him, when taken away from a guy who is genuinely trying to make his life a little better or make everyone's life better around him. You know, guys who play basketball more often than not, play in the NBA more often than not, you know, they play for as long as they can, they retire, and then you don't see them again. But Scal's point was Kobe wasn't doing that, and it just doesn't, obviously, it just doesn't seem fair for a guy who was trying to give back like this.
All right, so, and then you had to get up at 5 in the morning and take a flight.
Yes, sir.
Or morning. 4 in the morning. So you did the game last night, and then you got in when? New Orleans time.
Well, the game was early yesterday.
Right.
The game was done by 8, what was it, 7:30, 8 o'clock Central Time?
So did you, hightail it back to the hotel?
I walked back with Scal and Mike Gorman. They are not doing the game on Tuesday. I think it's a nationally televised game, so the three of us walked back to the hotel, and Mike and I went out to dinner with a bunch of the crew from NBC Sports.
Did you get annihilated?
No, I did not get annihilated.
Okay. did you have to pay, or was that picked up by the good people of the
Celtics? They picked it up. They picked it up. It was very nice of them.
What'd you have there? Escargot?
Yes. No, I had a bowl of crawfish etouffee, Fred.
Okay. Well, it sounds like it's a good time. I'm very glad that you had to get up this early and fly back for no reason.
But, yeah.
Because Lord knows.
Yeah, why I'm not, living the charmed life, man. Yeah,
why not torture yourself? But
yeah! Wallach loose in New Orleans.
Exactly. Crawfish etouffee. Oh, then I went to bed. Got up at 4.
Yep.
Were people still on the streets, like, from the night before when you got up?
Yes. Yes.
Right. Never, like, think, if you could have gotten up at 7, it would have been that way.
Yes.
No, but what I'm saying is that just it's... That's really going to suck, is that you're just, like, up and going to the airport.
Yeah. No,
What time's Gorman's flight?
Gorman is taking an afternoon flight.
Yeah.
Gorman
mm-hmm.
is
like a normal
not
person.
Here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like a normal
yeah, like
person.
A normal person. Yeah, he booked a direct flight in the afternoon. Me, I'm going to Charlotte on an early early.
Have fun
excursion.
With that, because that's a really easy airport to navigate. It's,
right.
It's, everything's very convenient.
Yeah, I know.
There's no trams or anything, so enjoy
right.
that. All right, well, John, thank you for your insight. In all seriousness, you were there at a time that was certainly odd for the team, and we appreciate your time. Safe travel.
No problem. I'll see you guys in the morning.
All right.
See you, man.
Wake up Wallach would have been fun today, but of course, unfortunately, he was up before me.
Right. We weren't in at 2 a.m.
Yeah, I know. He's at the airport by the time I got into the station. What an idiot. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
Well, we're going to hear some of Wallach's calls. Let's talk about the actual game last night.
All right. It was not good. But John, of course, the human jinx, we will hear more about that in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich down there in Miami. We have, this morning at 6:50, your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Celtics take on the Magic next Wednesday from Rafters, which I should get a chunk of money for coming up with. Rafters is the all-new members-only area on Level 9 of the Garden. Go to tdgarden.com/rafters to learn about this Rafters membership that's coming up at 6:50. Rich, there was a basketball game yesterday.
There was, and as Johnny Wallgame just mentioned, yesterday's Celtics game began with an agreed-upon tribute
to Kobe Bryant.
And the Pelicans win the tip, moving right to left. And as we mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, Lonzo Ball has the basketball. Both teams have agreed to take a 24-second violation to honor Kobe Bryant. And that is what is happening here. Lonzo Ball and Kemba Walker in front of him applauding as the clock winds its way down to 2-1 and the 24-second shot clock goes off.
Well, here's how poignant this is that the official start clapping his hand over there. And the Celtics will come back and do the same thing.
Celtics will return the favor. Jaylen Brown inbounds the basketball to Kemba Walker, and he, too, will steer near midcourt. Standing ovation here from the crowd for both teams who are treating this just the right way. Brad Stevens told me before the game that he and Alvin Gentry had agreed upon it immediately after finding out the news. And now both teams have honored the great Kobe Bryant.
Wouldn't it have been funny if they just someone broke the code? And like right, everyone's standing around, and the Celtics just
like if Kemba would have dunked it or something at
yeah.
that point.
Yeah, he went out and just and said,
hey, dude, I'm a Celtic.
Hey, there's some egg on your face, sir. I've not played by your rules.
Well, after talk of possibly canceling last night's game, along with all the other games the NBA slate, the league decided that the show must go on, and it did, with the Celtics delivering a less-than-inspired performance and handing Zion Williamson his first NBA win, 123-108, the final score against the Pelicans. With Jason Tatum out, the Celtics found themselves in a hole that they were never able to dig themselves out of, despite a pretty big game from Kemba Walker.
Kemba Walker, behind the screen, blows by Zion Williamson and lays it in.
Zion's never seen that kind of speed before. Zion is fast, but not Kemba fast.
42-33.
Listen to Johnny Wall game. Crushing it on the broadcast. How about
I mean,
that?
And then with all the responsibility heaped on him based on yesterday's tragic news, Wall game having to keep it professional, knowing that he had to get up at 3:30 in the morning today to catch his flight.
That is true. A very early flight that he was booked, inexplicably. But with Enes Kanter out as well, who has been surprisingly really good on the offensive boards, the Celtics were out-rebounded by a ton, 54-37 to be exact. And then, of course, Zion showed up.
At the elbow now, that's J.J. Redick behind the screen. Look out, he got a good look, and he missed the throw. Whoa! And it's flushed back home by Zion Williamson.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Give me a cookie and a sandwich. He went over everybody.
Flew in from the left-hand side like a jet airplane.
Ooh, what is it, looking down on the rim?
All right, so that was sandwiches.
So that both of them were dumb. So give me a cookie and a sandwich is obviously an order. That he wanted someone to get him actually a cookie and a sandwich.
Yeah.
And then Wallach really bringing it home with like a jet airplane.
That I booked at 5 a.m. tomorrow.
Yeah, like he took off like a jet airplane. Not a prop plane, but a jet airplane. Mm-hmm. Right there in the skies. What a beautiful use of the English language.
Well, Zion finished the game, that jet airplane that he is. 21 points and 11 rebounds. And the three-game winning streak comes to an end, all because Wallach was doing the call. But as we know, all anyone would speak about after the game was the loss of Kobe Bryant. Here is Brad Stevens afterwards.
Do you feel like games should have been played today?
Not my call, John. You know, I think the thing that I would say is that, you know, for a lot of these guys, basketball is a sanctuary, and being on the court is a sanctuary. If people got to watch those games and watch the 24-second violations and they got to appreciate that as fans, then I think we are happy to do whatever we're asked to do. You know, I think that's a hard call either way.
And as John was mentioning, Gordon Hayward had done some training with Kobe Bryant the offseason, and he was asked about him afterwards.
It was definitely tough. I've had a relationship with him, and he's been nice enough to, you know, take his time and took his time out and showed me things, would text me, the message that he sent me. And so, I mean, it was tough.
Well, tomorrow night the Celtics travel here to Miami with your guy Tyler Herro that you hate so much, actually having a really good season.
Yeah, he's a spaz.
He is. He's somewhat douchey, but yeah, he's really good.
He was at Maryland. He was a big spaz.
Was that where it was Maryland? I forget. I just know that
Herro was at Maryland, right?
Kentucky, I think.
Oh, Herro?
Yeah.
Oh, then that's not the guy I hate. Oh, is that
no,
the white
you hate
guy?
Tyler Harrow. Yes, you hate Tyler Harrow.
Oh, that's the white guy. Okay, I thought you meant the spaz that came out of Maryland that's still in the league.
No.
That just yelled and screamed and didn't score.
Yeah, Miami, excellent this year. like, really good, and no one's talking about
it. Are you
going
to go to a Heat game?
Man, Tuesday night on Super Bowl, you know how it is. Tuesday night Super Bowl week is, like, the only night where you can actually call an audible. It's, you know, because Monday, you know, we have the media night tonight. And then Wednesday and Thursdays, we're usually doing double shifts coming in and recording people in the afternoon coming out in the morning. So, like, I kind of want to just do one dumb thing. And I know that they got the, you know, every year they've got the Super Bowl media party. And sometimes they're kind of cool. Like, in Indianapolis, you actually went to the Indy 500 and, you know, you could walk on the track. And it was like, you know, that was all right. But then there's, like, the one in Minneapolis where they opened up the SpongeBob roller coaster for everyone. I'm like, I think that we'll rather go to Paisley Park instead. So I don't know. I don't think I'm going to waste it going to see the Celtics play. I could see them in Boston. I'm not that much of a uber nerd fan to go do that. But either way, no Wallach means that the Celtics will more than likely win. So the tip-off is at 7:30 tomorrow night. And, of course, you can hear it right here. 98.5 of Sports Up when the true professionals take over the radio broadcast.
All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Oh, a lot of Patriots making big news, and Julian Edelman sends a little message out there to maybe some of the haters with a Z.
All right. Well, I'd like to hear what he had to say. All right, we'll be right back.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group. Contest line 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see the Celtics take on the Magic next Wednesday from Raptors. Raptors is the all-new members-only area on level 9 of the Garden. Go to tdgarden.com/Raptors to learn about Raptors memberships. Caller number 10. All right.
I haven't said hello to Adam Jones yet.
Morning, Rich.
Hello.
He doesn't want to step on anybody, is what he says. But let me tell you, this hour of Toucher and Rich, live from Radio Row in Miami, is sponsored by Eagle Leasing. Toucher and Rich, presenting sponsor this week from Radio Row in Miami, is your New England Volkswagen dealers.
Well, even if the Patriots aren't in the Super Bowl, certain members want you to know that they wish they were. Julian Edelman on his Instagram posted a bunch of hunky pictures of himself on the football field, along with a photo of him high-fiving Tom Brady. And in the final photo of his story, the caption is, quote, "back to work," except the 2 is actually the number 11, so maybe it actually reads back 11 work. Either way, there's a lot of hunk in those pictures, because he wants you to know, even though I'm not there, I'm doing my best to get back in game shape by jumping on cars and hanging out in Los Angeles and throwing up in the streets.
I'm not, listen, I think he's a douche, but I do feel sorry for him because I think that his post-football life is not going to be good. It's not going to be good. He can't take those hits, and it's going to catch up to him. And, you know, if he still wants to play football, I would not advise it. But if that's what he wants to do, God bless him.
Well, you know, I think about it. I was actually thinking about this the other day because, you know, Wes Welker's here. It's kind of funny. He could end up winning his first Super Bowl ring being a wide receivers coach for the 49ers. So he's here now, and I don't know who took harder hits, because I've seen both of them take hits that you saw and you just went, how can they get up and walk after that? And we know what happened to Welker in his final years. You know, he had obviously had massive problems with the concussions. He had the Spaceballs helmet after a while too. And I'm starting to get to the point where I think Edelman's taking harder hits now.
Well, we've heard Welker is showing, we've heard secondhand, not anything that you could prove, that Welker's not doing great.
But he's good enough to be a coach in the NFL. So, I mean, that's not, right now.
Well, no, he's not debilitated. I mean, he's not, you know, someone who has to sit in a dark room.
Sure.
But we've heard that, like, not all things are great with him.
Yeah, that
but,
is just.
But if you're Edelman, I mean, Edelman's played forever. I mean, he's targeted like 1,000 times this year. Or something.
I know. I mean, was he like the only guy that Tom Brady actually was in his circle of trust that he had? And, you know, to the point where, you know, how many balls did he drop? I think he led the league in drop passes this year.
Just because he had the ball thrown to him 5 billion times.
That's a good point. The percentages do go up when, you know, you're getting it thrown to you as much as you are. But speaking of Tom Brady, if you're wondering what the market looks like for him should he decide to leave New England, Charles Robinson of Yahoo says that a Brady deal is expected to land somewhere in the two-year $60 million to $70 million range. Although I believe it was Jeff Howe on our show who speculated that a team may even be desperate enough if there is a battle between a bidding war where they might possibly throw 3 years, $90 million his way. Now, I believe that this is what I believe is probably more likely going to happen. I think that even if it's for a short period of time, he wants to, for just once, be known as the highest-paid quarterback in the league. Right now, that guy is Russell Wilson with $35 million. So where, as Charles Robinson said, his value could be 2 years, $60 to $7 million, I believe that Brady gets 2 years, $71 million for his next deal, just so he can say, or the world can know, that for once, Tom Brady had the highest annual salary for a quarterback.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for him, though, that there's so many young quarterbacks in the league and that there's the market is, I mean, there's only, what, three or four teams that would be willing to pony up any kind of money, so we'll see how that all falls in.
Well, the weirdest thing about all of it is that, you know, we've heard the Titans a bunch, we've heard, obviously, the Raiders, we've heard the Chargers, but the one name that I've seen pop up just in the last, like, couple of days a bunch, including this article in Yahoo from Charles Robinson, was they keep mentioning the Bears. Now, the Bears was somebody that when, you know, there was speculation started, you're like, okay, well, that would, you know, obviously, they do seem like a team that, you know, a plug and play. You put in a good quarterback, and with that defense that was predicted at the beginning of the year to be good enough to take them all the way to a Super Bowl, despite their quarterback, you thought it made sense. And then it kind of went away because the defense wasn't as great as we all had thought it was going to be. And now it's back. So maybe there's something to that. I don't know whether he would move into that situation. I just have a feeling, Fred, like you, he's going to end up signing here for 2 years and like $58 million or something like that, and just kind of end up saying, "All right, I love it here. It's going to be a big Robert Kraft love fest," and then everyone's going to be happy.
He should do the Izzo, which is just let everyone fawn all over you, take the visits, feel good about yourself, and then ultimately just stay where you said you were going to stay.
So you said do the Izzo. I thought you meant eat his breakfast on the can in the locker room, bring his scrambled eggs into the bathroom and eat it while taking a dump. Isn't that the Larry Izzo?
Larry Izzo?
Efficient.
Yes.
That's efficient.
I thought you said Lizzo, and I was
no. the Lizzo.
Your mainline
gravy.
He's
going there, you know, and sing about, you know, big asses and play your flute and, you know, take a DNA test. I love Lizzo. I really do.
All right. Well.
She was, I think that she, did you see the Aerosmith Walk This Way thing last night?
Oh,
I didn't get to see the Grammys.
I couldn't stop watching the Grammys.
Boy.
I was totally aware that it was on.
Tell me you would have wanted to see what Run DMC and Aerosmith are like together now. Come on, years later, you wouldn't want to see how they hold up?
It was tough, Fred. Yeah, it was tough.
I mean,
Steven Tyler was bringing girls up on stage.
Oh,
it was tough.
Well, Steven Tyler likes girls a lot. All right, no commercials here, just a headline.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.